Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley on a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. We generally don't start the celebrating until 11 a.m. just to be responsible, but considering all the things that happened in Philadelphia last night, should you choose to start celebrating now, I ain't mad at you. joining us right now is our friend Brad Biggs.
Bradley.
From Chicago. Brad, I know you've been out in Chicagoland for a long time now, but you're a D.C. boy at heart. Did you enjoy what happened to the city of Philadelphia last night?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that was a hell of a baseball game, wasn't it?
what a way to end.
That pitcher better not go back to Philly.
Yeah, just a brutal ending. You, as much as you loathe Philly, like, you got a feel for that cat, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just like...
He just had a brain melt.
And they all talk about it. They do PFP, pitcher fielding practice, for hours, day after day in spring training, and the guy froze in the moment. I was the replays of that were really hard to watch.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Totally.
Oh yeah.
And then the Eagles, man, I get they're 4-2. They have a loaded roster, but they've now been outgained in every game they've played. Lost two in a row. Just there's trouble brewing up there with that Eagles team.
Oh yeah.
Well, but. I mean, it seems like every year almost they reach a point where you're like, boy, is this are they close to a tipping point, yeah, right? Is this about to go off the rails? And then the roster is such, and Howie Roseman does such a good job with them that they turn out to be just fine. And Sirianni goes from, you know, the biggest idiot in town to a genius.
Right.
So I don't yet, but. That was concerning, and with that Jackson Dart, Brian Daboll might just have enough there to save his rear end and keep his job, right?
Yeah, crazy.
Seems like it.
All right, we're talking with our friend Brad Biggs, covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune, knows this Bears team inside and out, been covering the Bears since 2001. Brad's joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. When I knew that Brad was the dude covering the Bears, I'm going back in time here, but it was about 10 minutes before, like, the Schefter and Rappaports of the world officially broke the news on the Montez Sweat trade to Chicago. Mm-hmm. I'd say it was like a half hour before that, I saw a tweet from Biggs, watch the Bears for a D-end. And then it was like, bang, right after that. All right, Brad, get us up to speed on all things Chicago. They're coming off the bye week. They've had some injuries to start, but might be getting some guys back.
Yeah, they're doing all right health-wise. You know, there's a Grady Jarrett. They paid him an awful lot of money to come over in free agency from Atlanta, the defensive tackle. He's banged up with a knee. He's been kind of playing on one leg before he missed some time, and so I think there's a level of concern for him, and that's problematic because defensively, they're not rushing the passer. That's what you'd hope he'd help with and getting a push up the middle. They've been atrocious stopping the run, guys. Brutal run defense. It's last in the league. And not only are they giving up yardage, they're giving up explosive plays. They are allowing opponents 6.15 yards per carry, which is more than a half yard worse than the 31st ranked Miami Dolphins. I went and looked at it. I said, when's the last time some team allowed 5.5 yards per carry over the course of a season? And we're still dealing with a small sample size through four games, but right, 5.5 yards of carry. Last defense to do that was the 1959 Redskins.
Damn. Damn.
Yeah.
I wasn't even born.
No. I, you know, that's how bad it's been. Opponents have been ripping off big runs on them, and then they've also been horrible on first down. Like they're giving up like an average of about 8 yards a play on first down, which you get a 65 yarder here and a 40 yard play there, and it can really screw those numbers up in a hurry. But they've been bad there. Now, in some respects, though, they've been really good. That's why it's hard to figure out. They've got 9 takeaways. I don't know how sustainable that is. They had 4 last time out against the Raiders. Geno Smith's been a turnover machine. You guys probably saw that earlier this season. And they're actually, I got to look at it, but going in the last weekend, they were number 1 in the league on third down. So they've been really good if they can get you in third down. Third and 5+, opponents have converted 3 of 25 opportunities against them. So it's striking because in a couple key respects, they're terrible on defense right now. And a couple of those metrics that you look at and you say, these are really telling statistics, they're very, very good. They should get a little bit healthier this week. They're getting linebacker TJ Edwards back. That ought to help the run defense a little. And then their nickel cornerback, Kyler Gordon, pretty good player, signed to a $40 million four-year extension this offseason, made him the highest paid slot corner in the league. He should make his season debut Monday night. He's been out since training camp with a hamstring injury.
Well, you know what people care about? People care about, what is it, number 15? That was Caleb Ware? 15? Something like that?
18, maybe?
18.
I don't know.
Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. How has it been working for y'all so far?
Yeah, Caleb and Ben have gotten off to a nice start, and that's been one of the impressive things that people have seen during this 4-game stretch is the growth and development of the quarterback. It looked, awkward in training camp. You know, the offense was getting, quite frankly, dominated most days by the defense. And you looked at it and you said, I don't know that the defense is a world beater. Like, this isn't the 85 Bears out there. How concerning is this? But Caleb's made some real strides in terms of pocket presence, being able to play in rhythm and on time. And that's been a big boost for him. And their sacks have dropped dramatically. They were terrible protecting the quarterback. Caleb was responsible for a good chunk of those league-high 68 sacks last season. They've been much, much better at avoiding some of those negative plays this season. And so you've seen some development in there. Along with it, the sort of ascent of Rome Odunze, who was also a first-round pick a year ago with Caleb at wide receiver, he's got a touchdown catch in every game so far and 5 total. That's sort of a budding young star in the league at that position.
Yeah, he's been great.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
2 things that I saw you point out. You've got the ref crew this week.
Yeah.
I saw your tweet earlier in the week. Alex Moore will work this game Monday night. They lead the league in calling penalties. They've got 95 penalties called, and another 22 have been declined. That's 13 more, basically 10, 12, almost 15% more than the number 2 crew. How much of an impact do you think that will have in this game? And is there anything specifically they call that's going to be just annoying as hell?
Well, the impact could be people be getting home from the game at about 1 a.m. Tuesday morning, right?
Oh,
that's the potential impact. Small sample size. It's his first year as a referee. You know, I bet there's a chance you throw on tape of those games they worked and you're like, yeah, you have to call that hold, or that's clear pass interference there. You got to throw that. penalty-wise, the Bears have had some issues with that. And one of the things they're really working to clean up is pre-snap penalties on offense. And that was an issue for them in training camp in terms of delay a game, false start, illegal shifts. I mean, you name it, everything was out of sorts. And because they've added a lot of pre-snap motion to what they're doing, that's something that Ben Johnson believes highly in, that they did a lot of in Detroit. And so throwing that on the plate of the young quarterback who's learning a new system, they've got new offensive linemen working with each other. So that's been something that they feel like if they can tighten that up, they can start putting more points on the board, because nobody can make a living if they're consistently getting themselves in a first and 15 or situations like that. But, you know, hopefully it's not a dreadful game with flags everywhere, or you know who won't handle that well will be Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, and I don't blame them one bit.
They're great. Yeah. Honestly, the Buck Aikman pairing.
They call out the refs, which I love.
Troy has entered this IDGAF mode in his career, where he's not kissing ass to the league or anything. He's been fantastic.
You know what? I really enjoy them because they call it like they see it, and more times than not, I think what they're saying is what you're thinking as you're sitting there at home watching the ball game. Like, yeah I can't believe how poorly this quarterback's playing, or can you believe how sloppy this game is? Like, they bring it to you. They don't try to gloss over that, and that makes for a good broadcast. It does.
Yeah, I love it.
Last thing, Brad, I don't know how this works in the Bears locker room. In the Commanders locker room all week, starting with the head coach and the quarterback, they have zero interest in discussing the Hail Mary from last year. I think for Washington, that's the right way to handle it, because last year means nothing. What does last year's impact, the way that game finished, and then what happened to Chicago after that, what is, if at all, the carryover this year?
Yeah, I don't think there's much, if any. Like some people on social media have tried to label this as a revenge game for the Bears, and a revenge for what? Like the Commanders didn't like take that win. The Bears gave it to them. Like Bears need to get revenge on themselves for some of the ridiculous things that happened, not just the Hail Mary, like remember the fumble at the goal line. And mm-hmm. I mean, there was all sorts of self-inflicted wounds, and it things obviously spiraled out of control for the franchise. In the wake of that, they went out to Arizona, played a bad Cardinals team, and lost 29-3 the next week. And it was, you know, all downhill from there. But yeah, they're doing a pretty good job, led by the coach, of sort of compartmentalizing things on a week-to-week basis here. You know, you try to ask Ben Johnson anything about last year, and he'll just shut it down. Good, bad, or indifferent, he'll say, you know, listen, I wasn't here last year. We've started a new program. We're only concerned about what's right in front of us. And that's an important game for these guys coming off the bye. The Bears traditionally have been hot garbage out of the bye. They're like 1-10 or 1-11. I don't think that's applicable for Monday night, because it's a new coaching staff, new team, new season, all that. But we'll see how they come out, because they took advantage of a terrible Dallas defense, and the Cowboys were without CeeDee Lamb for almost the entire game. And they got very fortunate with a blocked field goal on the final play against a really bad Raiders team. So how do the Bears look when they have to take a step up in class?
It's going to be interesting, man. I'm excited, and we'll. I know you're excited for the press box in Landover, Brad.
Oh, it's a great spot. That's a great spot.
Good news, it's a night game, so they won't be serving the runny eggs. So we'll see what we get in there.
Yeah, with the night game, it really probably shouldn't be a whole lot of traffic either, right?
In Green Bay?
here. Oh, here. Oh, bro.
Give yourself plenty of time,
man,
Brad.
Please.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you making time for us.
All right,
hey,
Brad.
Go Caps.
Take care, buddy.
Go Caps, guys.
Go Caps. Right, damn care, right. Brad Biggs, just an absolutely great reporter covering the Bears and a D.C. boy at heart. Nobody go anywhere. Nikki Jabal is going to join us at 11.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.